Sounds so easy. It's harmony in everything, right? And I know in your hearts, God can move us when we sing those songs, even though we don't know what we're saying or what it's really going to mean, what it's going to look like. Because I surrender all is obviously not an easy thing, right? But isn't that what Jesus has been saying throughout Mark, throughout the Gospel of Mark? If you read what Mark's written in this Gospel, it's all about that. He uses the words of Jesus, repeats the words of Jesus that he shared with his disciples to us and to the people he was writing to, so that we would hopefully in our hearts be moved as the Holy Spirit spoke to us. By the way, that's what happens. God's word gets opened up and it's really God speaking to us through his Holy Spirit. He can do that through other things as well, but it's kind of significant that it's God's word and people recorded it as eyewitnesses of things they've seen about Jesus. And as I've said before, Mark just gets the guys around like Peter and figures out what to write and does it with a mission in his heart, and that is to make a difference for the people of his time. God meant it for us as well, right? And so here we are taking this in and being a part of it. So as you notice, I got a little distracted this morning and I didn't quite make it up in time for my grad announcement. Sorry, grads. But it happens. That's because I was so taken up by your scripture reading. You know, it said scripture reading, I'm after scripture reading, but I feel like you did the sermon, and I think we should just pray and go, because that was awesome. Thank you so much. It was really good, and just to get the context of the passage. So I'm not going to say too much more about the context, other than just prior to that even, Jesus was challenging his people to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And so this kind of runs right in the same tune of that. It talks about denying things to yourself. Sorry, fathers and grads, it's pretty rough, right? You have to pull out your knives and cut off your limbs and cut off your, poke your eyes out and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty graphic. It really is. But it's an interesting text because as bizarre as it is and almost ludicrous, it's something that God, Jesus used to grab the attention of his people. And I wonder if he needs to grab our attention this morning too. So I know you may be just looking forward to a nice time going out for lunch, but let's let God grab our hearts. Because he loves us so much, so that he can give us life. So that when you go out to lunch, you have that much more life to share. I am serious, it's true. God can do that for us, even in just a few moments. I experienced it this morning. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for the way that you are a gracious God, even when we look at the hard teachings and they seem so harsh, and almost, we're almost embarrassed of it to share something. This is what Jesus said to me. But God, you use it because you love us. And use it to draw us into relationship with you so that we can experience life here, right now, and in the future. So God, I commit this word to you. I ask that you would work through me. Use my words, use all that I am, my whole being, to express what you want to have, what you would like to have expressed to us this morning. I look forward to hearing from you, God, and hearing from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'll do, though, is I'll give you the context of me, because sometimes it helps to know the journey that the person who's speaking on was on, to sort of give you a context of why I'm speaking the way I am. So I said this morning even I experienced that, where I could just have a little more life. That's maybe why I was so caught up here too. I was just kind of celebrating within myself and enjoying what God had done for me. Does that ever happen to you? Now I know maybe some of you may not know Jesus, I don't know if you do or not, but has that ever happened to you where it could be another person even? Someone shared something with you that kind of impacted your life and just set you up, like it's like a wind in your sails and you're ready to go, and it becomes something that actually gives you some sort of buoyancy in life, helps you rise above the things maybe that are amongst you and maybe pulling you down. It sort of changes your perspective, I think, is what happens. That's what happened to me this morning. I know it's a lot to say for what happened to me this morning, but it was quite amazing. So I often try to take some time with God, and as I've told you before, I use this little app. It's called Examine, and now I'm not making money off it, okay? So it's okay to go to it if you want, but it's a very simple tool. We all have some tools that we can use. Please use them to bring yourself into relationship with God. So I used this one this morning. It had 7 steps for me, and I was tempted not to go and do it. I wanted to do this, this, and this first, and then slip my little time with God in, and then move over here, because then God would give me the strength to look good when I get up here and speak to you. Honestly, that was really what I wanted to do. I just wanted to impress you. Say, well, that was pretty good, Rob. It's so shallow, right? So I spent time with God, and I did it as early as I can. And I sat up on Mount Tomi, which I like to do now and then, And this time I just went sort of on a side spot and sat in the trees and just let God work on me. Because this prayer that I go through actually had seven steps in it. And it allows you to, first of all, relax. Then it allows you to give thanks to God. And then it has some questions that make you think about who you are and what you've done. And I am telling you, it may not be good for you, but for me, every time I do it, it's like God shows up. And he just takes time with me and actually puts his hand on something in my life and causes me to see something that I need to get changed, made right, made new, transformed. So, grads, let me challenge you, and parents for that matter, all of us, to take time with God somehow. This is not a guilt thing. It's like if you don't do it one day, you're in trouble. It's not like that. That is not God. That's not God. God just wants you to, when you can, come into presence with him, and he'll help you sometimes. And sometimes it is a discipline. You have to force yourself. But as you do it, God will meet you. And so God met me, and he challenged me about some things that happened Saturday. Now, I'll give you a little window of what I did Saturday, and then we'll move right into the scripture, because I don't want to take too much time. But the window is, I was busy. we all get busy, and so I was too busy. And I was trying to fit too much into the day, and I finally got to the point where I was just barely, well, actually a little late, coming in for some youth group things that I needed to do. So we did Elevate Youth last night, and we were doing Capture the Flag, and then we were at Willows for a barbecue. And so I'm driving over with David, my son, and I'm anxious, as you can imagine. I'm just so stressed. I'm like, why do I have to do this, God? I can't stand this. I hate this. You just swirl, right? Dark clouds start to form. It's raining. The thunder hits you, or the lightning hits you, and the thunder's crashing, and you're like, oh, woe is me kind of thing, right? That's what I was doing. I was spiraling. And I even said to David, I remember saying this, oh, it's going to be a bad night, David. Because I felt so bad. Actually, it was. I had to do a lot of running, and my hamstring was pulled a little bit. But other than that, it was good. So I was all spiraling. But then we got there, and it actually turned out to be a great evening. I had a good time. A lot of students there that I hadn't met before. And I got some exercise, which is good for me. The guys just ran around me, right, Johnny? Totally. I tried, but they were fast. So I just try to contain them, right? So it's like, but Dan, have you ever played on the Oak Bay rugby field? It's so big. At any rate, we did that. We had a good time. I was able to get the blood going and feel better about myself. And then as I came to the morning, this morning, as I sat down, that's what God put his finger on in my heart. He said, how was your day yesterday? What was impacting you? What was so hard for you? Why were you, almost asking me, why was I anxious? It was almost like that. I said, yeah, I was. I said, well, what would it be like? One of the questions was, what would it be like if you felt complete freedom in your heart to do whatever you could? If you felt in God's presence that you were just free, and you had to worry about all the things, what would it look like for you? I'm like, whoa, that would be nice, God. That would be good. And so as I worked through that, what I did then was I just asked God, okay, do a work in me, God. Forgive me for trying to control my world. Do you try to control your world? I'm not the only one thinking this. We try to control our world, right? We do so many things to try to control it, whether it be our garden or our house or our children or perhaps our exams and how we're doing in our workplace, what we look like physically. So many things we work feverishly to try to control. I'm not saying to stop doing those things, but what is the purpose of it? Where are we going with all this? God then meets us when we have a quiet time. And he says, hey, hold on, stop, wait a moment. Just wait a moment. What is it all about? What does it all mean in the end? Where are you going? Are you enjoying life? Is this what you want? Because we have the ability to make a change. We have a choice to make. And so I sat there in God's presence and I said, God, go ahead. Do surgery. Remove it. Remove it. Take it away, that desire to do my own thing. I had to control it. I didn't think that was my problem, but it is, God. I just want to control it. And so Jesus comes to the disciples. They've just been bickering about who's who in the kingdom. They're frustrated with someone who's doing something they shouldn't be doing it, and they should be doing it. And Jesus says, he talks to them about causing someone to stumble, and he talks about little ones. There's a lot of different translations there, but some of them say the little ones are simply us, like us kind of guys who are in relationship with Jesus, but we're kind of little. We're young in our faith, and it's easy for us maybe to trip up. And so he just challenges the disciples, be careful. Actually take that seriously how you live. I love it that we have a community here, but also outside of us that often does that. They may not always be centered in Christ, but that's their desire. They actually, I see that all the time. I don't know if you see that, but I'm just amazed. Even in Oak Bay as well, as you walk around, as we're involved in different activities, even here in the parking lot or at Oak Bay, at the Willows Beach or at Oak Bay High School, people are there. They're so gracious, right? That's something God's put within us. But sometimes we choose our own ways. In the Bible, they call it living in the flesh. And all that means is we've chosen to put ourselves as the idol. We're first, not Jesus. And so in our relationship with Jesus, we can take it a step further. We can actually deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. And he gives us life and inspires us and gives us power to make a difference amongst other people. So now not only are we being polite and nice, we're actually sharing God with somebody. And they're getting an eye-opener, just a little bit, to see something new. And so as he comes and talks about that, that's what he's talking about. But in this case, of course, he's talking about us in the church too, right? And so people, all of us, it's time for a little check. As I said in the title, it's a wake-up call time. You may think, oh, I have all these freedoms in Christ. I can do whatever I want because he's died for me. I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Don't tell me what to do. Well, no. Not so much. Come on. Yes, we are free. But let God's love permeate through you, because look at the way he loved you. Now you love others. Love people in our church. Do not cause them to stumble. Right? Why would you express your freedom in order that someone might be pulled away from what Christ is having for them, what he has a gift for them? And we're doing something that makes them look somewhere else, and they discover something else, and they go that way, and who knows how long it's going to take them to turn and come back. Do not do that. It's better for you to have a stone wrapped around your neck and thrown in the water. That's strong stuff. Yeah. Wow. And yet Jesus says it because he loves us so much. He wants to give life to those around us. And he wants to give us life and purpose so that our life is not just meant to please ourselves and find our freedom. It's actually to live in God's grace and express it to others. And then he goes on and he talks about cutting off things, right? If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to do that than to enter into life maimed. Excuse me, with two hands and go to hell. Whoa. Jesus. And that's where the fire burns eternally. And then he says, if your foot causes you to stumble, just cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, even grosser, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Where? Worms that eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched. It's really powerful teaching, but let me tell you, Jesus does it because he loves us. Please don't go and cut your hands off and your feet off and gouge your eye, because it's not about that at all. And we know that because Jesus did not teach like that. He used this as a wake-up call for his disciples. They were caught up in themselves, and he wanted to pull them back in, reel them back in. Bring them to a point where they could see that that's not what it's about. By the way, interesting little fact here, that in Judaism, it is prohibited to practice self-mutilation. So, do I have your attention, Jesus is saying. They're like, what? You can't even do that. It's not even, it's prohibited, Jesus. Oh, really? Well, what I'm really saying is, are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to take up your cross and follow me? And that's what he's saying to us today. Are we willing to do that? And guys, the reason he put it there is because it's so serious. Purity is important. Walking with Christ and putting him first is important. And we know that we can't do it ourselves. And that is throughout the Gospels, and it's in the New Testament as well. And that's why I know Jesus is not telling us to cut off our arm, cut off our foot, or gouge our eyes out. Because no matter what you do to your body, you still have a heart that can sin. And a mind that can go the wrong way. You need transformation from the inside out, right? Jesus said even just before this, it's not what goes into your mouth, the physical things, it's what comes out of your mouth. He's talking about the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. I want to read another scripture for you. It's a little, and I'm getting close to the end here, don't worry. A little bit more. All right, I just got to put it off for a second. Hold on here. You all know this verse anyhow, a lot of you. Romans 12. Is that familiar?
Yep.
Good. So it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Again, Do you see yourself climbing up on an altar and just lighting her up and sacrificing yourself? I don't think so. Let's go on and read this. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, then you will be able to test and approve of God's will as his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Climb up on the altar, please. And let God take his skillful hands and remove what he needs to remove graciously, so that you can walk in the freedom that Christ has died for. And yet we continue to just walk on our own, doing our own thing, just like the disciples were. And he was walking them through it. As Kirsten said, it was the second time he had already said, I'm going to die for you. They're still trying to figure out, what's that about? Well, we know that now. He did die for us. And as a result, we're free from our sins when we invite him into our lives. We don't have to carry that millstone around our neck. It's done. It's gone. The chains are broken. And so God is now saying to us, as he said to the disciples, this is serious business. Come on into your whatever room you go to, or wherever place you go, or even right here where you are now, and just let me examine you. Let me come before you and let me set you free, because I created you for a reason and you're just not living it right now. But I can show you the way. I can do it for you. I can help you walk through it. That journey is not going to be easy, because we read at the end of this passage, it says, everyone will be salted with fire. So salt purifies. Salt keeps things fresh. Salt gives light. What's the fire? Well, it sounds to me like that's not nice. So perhaps we're going to go through some things in our journey. Students, you're going to go through stuff, and it's not going to be easy sometimes. You'll be challenged with decisions that might not be easy to make. You'll have a tough time possibly with some courses that you're going to do. You may get really angry with some people, the way they treat you. Or you may get angry with the way your family's treating you because you got freedom. There may be all sorts of things that are happening, students, that will be hard for you. It will be like you were being salted with fire, because the idea is you're going through this so that you might be purified. As painful as it is, it's the only way. I'm sorry to say, it's the only way. But God will use it for his glory. He'll walk you through it. And this is where we, who have been through this, can say to students or others who are new in their faith or maybe young in their faith, hang in there. Keep going. This is what God did for me. That's how he walked through it. And you know, even today I'm still scared, because there's more I'm dealing with. I don't know what to do with it. But I have this experience in my past that says God will take me through it. He will walk me through it. Whether it's a physical thing or whatever it is, he will walk me through it. Guys, I promise you, there is a God who is faithful, who will walk through it. Just like Jesus was physically with the disciples at this time, he's there for us today, right now. So when you get a moment, take time with him. Because you're just at the beginning. And for all of us, let's take the time, because we can start anytime. At any age, it doesn't really matter, right? The point is that we come and we take seriously what Jesus' teaching is, and we try to figure out what it is. Don't get overwhelmed by the words. Go to the Spirit. Go to the Holy Spirit. And understand that he's just trying to wake us up, trying to get our attention, and bring us in a place where we can get right with God and walk in freedom. That's the whole thing. Let's let God wake us up. It says salt is good, but if it loses saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. It's nice to end like that after that crazy passage, isn't it? And isn't that the desire? God's concerned about the internal. He says it even at the end of this passage. He's concerned about your heart. He's concerned that you find peace. He's concerned that you have hope. He's concerned about the friends you have. He's concerned about how you relate to people around you. But he puts up with who we are.
Yeah.
He totally does. Because we don't do very well with it. We are very awkward. I don't do too well if people are awkward to me. God does really well, though.
Yeah.
He understands us. He sees us right through who we are. And he can take what appears to be saltless, sprinkle new salt on, and make it new. Preserve it. Make it holy. Make it clean. So that we can walk out of him with a hope to make a difference. And to find peace amongst each other. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. As harsh as it is, we know that God, you speak these words like this for our sake. and because you love us. So we just commit ourselves to you this morning. We look forward to ending our time in singing. Thanks for your presence. In Jesus' name.